Okay, Liz, here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood.
I put on my Birkenstocks to take Violet to the bus this morning, as I do every morning, but it was like 45 degrees, and I thought it was going to freeze to death.
Oof.
The Missourian in me is dead.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I wear a down jacket when it's like 65.
Okay, it does.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Liz.
That's me, Liz Craft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In this episode, we talk about rejecting anxiety. We've also got a mailbag question about how we keep our creative juices flowing.
In Hits and Bombs, I've got a podcast hit, and we've got a shared bomb.
Finally, this week's Hollywood hack is easy, delicious, and nutritious.
Yes. But first, Sarah, we have a couple of updates. First of all, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Today is Halloween. Wanted to mention to everybody that on Happier, we had Melissa Hartwig Urban, who, of course, is famous worldwide for the whole 30, talk to us about the happiness stumbling block of Halloween candy.
Oh, God.
That's in episode 245. If you want to hear about how to deal with Halloween candy, listen to that.
So how do you deal with it?
Well, basically, her answer is you're an adult with a car and a credit card. You can get candy anytime you want. Halloween is not special.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's, for me, that's going to make it a lot easier.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got
to. I'm going to remember that. Okay. I'm an adult with a car and a credit card.
You can get Snickers whenever you please. You don't need to have it on Halloween.
Although Snickers, I won't be having because there's dairy in Snickers.
Oh, right.
And I'm vegan now,
see,
so it would be a different kind of
you've
candy.
Already cut down on your, on your candy.
Yes, which leads me to our second update. I wanted to thank everyone who has been sending all these amazing vegan resources. I've been using the cookbook that Victoria recommended, Chloe's Kitchen by Chloe's Coscarelli. It's like totally amazing.
Oh, good.
And then so many of our listeners have sent in restaurants and websites and meal planning hacks and just all this amazing stuff. It's going to take me like 5 years just to get through it all, which is great because it's a long-term thing.
Hopefully you have more than 5 years.
Exactly.
Being a plant-based eater.
Yes. So thank you.
And Sarah, of course, I also want to mention Gretchen and I are still on tour with our live show, Happier Hour. Some cities are sold out, but tickets should still be available for Washington, D.C., Charlotte, Atlanta, and Brooklyn. So you can go to GretchenRubin.com/events for links to buy tickets. We love meeting our listeners. We're having a great time. So have a ladies' night. Come see us.
And we should also mention we both are getting over cold. So if we're a little froggy and hoarse today.
Yes. Apologies. Okay, Sarah, it's time for From the Treadmill Desks Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week it's rejecting anxiety.
Yes, we have decided that we are going to try to remove anxiety from the notes process.
Yeah, as we've discussed, we're in the process of writing two pilot scripts. They're both due before Christmas, and each one involves many phases of notes from many different parties.
Many. And we have been known to be stressed about notes.
Mm-hmm.
And we should say, like, our notes are often really excellent and we don't mind getting notes. It's like the actual notes are fine.
Yeah.
The executing of the notes is fine. But before the notes come, we get very anxious.
Yeah, because you were like, what if somebody hates this? I mean, that's the fear, of course.
Yes,
right?
It's very common writer neurotic anxiety.
Yes. I mean, there was a time when we would be so anxious before calls, like we couldn't eat, like our stomach would be churning for hours.
Yeah.
Like we'd wake up, we might not have a notes call at 4 p.m., we'd wake up feeling sick.
Yes, and you just lose hours of your life to dread.
Yeah, and not to mention us just going back and forth, like, what do you think the notes are going to be? What do you think the notes are going to be? I think they're going to be this. Well, it could be that, but it could be this. And it's not a productive cycle.
No, and it's never what you expect anyway. Because if it was what you expected, you would have fixed it before you turned it in.
Right.
So we thought we would apply my traffic thing to the notes process.
Yes, which, remind everyone what your traffic thing is.
Okay, which is I just decided, I don't know, maybe I think it was after Violet was born, that I was not going to be stressed in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I was not going to get that frustrated, crazy Los Angeles-induced traffic craziness that happens. I just decided I wasn't going to, and I haven't. And it's like the most amazing change in my life.
You mentioned this to me. You said, I want to remove anxiety from the notes process the way I remove stress from traffic. And I thought you were nuts.
Yeah, you were like, that's the craziest thing.
Are you crazy? That's never going to happen. But then you talked me through it. And you convinced me that we could do this together.
I think we can, because we don't gain anything from that anxiety.
Right.
And we lose hours.
Yeah. And the truth is, the anxiety in no way impacts the notes.
In no
way. To state the obvious.
Yeah.
So there is literally no point
to
having the anxiety.
Yes. So I'm just rejecting it. From now on, I think we should just reject it. If we see it coming, acknowledge it, and then turn it away like Amy with the ghosts.
Oh,
can we say that?
Yeah. Oh, Sarah, I should tell our listeners what you're referring to.
Yes.
We both had a housekeeper, Amy, who we adored.
She's amazing.
But she talks to dead people, but she doesn't want to talk to dead people. So she would see them. She would say, I see you. I know you're there, but I have nothing for you.
Yeah, it was like, there's no help for you here.
There's no help for you here. And she would turn her back on the ghosts. So we are going to do that. We are going to say to anxiety when it rears up, there's nothing. Well, what are we going to say?
There is no space for you here.
Okay, there's no space for you here. And we're going to turn our back.
Yes.
Okay. And whenever one of us goes, the other will be there to remind.
Yes.
That's what's nice about having a partner.
It's true. There is no space for you here.
Okay.
Anxiety.
But by the way, this does not mean we care less about the outcome.
Oh, God, no. No.
We're still insanely invested in getting these things made.
No, and in fact, I think it will make the outcome better because we'll be using that time in a productive way instead of in a like, what? Freak out.
Instead of going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And we just have to remember, writing is rewriting. So whatever the notes are, it's fine because writing is rewriting.
Yes. And we've done it 1,000 times.
I was thinking it's kind of like a mindfulness. Like we have to make a mindful decision to do this. And then as you said with our ghost analogy, also it's like when you're trying to meditate and thoughts come down and you acknowledge it, it's like a river.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, here comes a thought. Okay, I see that thought and I'm going to let it keep flowing down the river.
Yes.
And so that's what we're going to do with our anxiety about notes. Just let them keep flowing down the river.
Flow down the river. There is no space for you here.
Sarah, now question, can I still be sick with anxiety over the actual question of whether or not we're going to get a green light for our pilots?
Oh, God, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. 100%. I will be right there with you.
Okay.
No anxiety till then.
Okay.
And then all the anxiety we've pushed away, it will all
flood
come
in
right back.
And we will experience massive anxiety,
but
for a shorter period of time.
It's going to be great.
Perfect. Next up, a listener question about creativity. But first, this break. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Hollywood. That's storyworth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase. Okay, Liz, it's time for our mailbag segment. This comes from our Facebook group. Christine asked, how do you maintain a steady stream of creativity, especially in high-pressure situations?
That's a great question.
Yes.
Basically, we have no choice.
Yeah.
This reminds me, Sarah, after Jack was born, I found that my writer's block went away. Like, I would have such writer's block. I would spend hours doing nothing, not being able to write 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours.
Yeah.
The second I had a baby and time just sort of became very different.
Yeah.
I never had writer's block again because, like, you just got to write when you can write.
Yes, absolutely. If you have that 2 hours, that's when it's going to happen.
Yes.
And I think practice has helped. It definitely gets easier over time. It's like, you know, creativity is a muscle that gets stronger with use. And
yes.
If you're just using it constantly, it's always there.
Yes. You think like, oh, I have to wait to get inspired.
Yeah.
But in fact, the more you try to be creative, the more creative ideas you will have. It's the opposite. It's like if you spend a year trying not to be creative and then you try to write a poem, it's not going to be nearly as good of a poem as if you try to write a poem every single day.
Yes. Oh, that's so true. And also, we do take time to rest our brains.
Yes.
We're not kind of constantly beating at the creativity horse. Is that a thing?
Yeah. It sounds like it. But for instance, like during the fix, a lot of times if we hit a wall, a creative wall, we had no idea what to do. You and Marcia and I would go take a walk around the studio. We would do it to rest our brains. But what was interesting is that often on that walk, we would actually have an idea.
Yes.
So we'd be talking about something totally different. And then somebody would go, well, you know, we could do this. And someone would go, well, that's true. And if we did that, we could do this. And by the time we came back to our building, we'd often have a solution or at least the beginning of a solution.
Yes. And we also take longer amounts of time off. Like weekends. We are I mean, if we are really under the gun, we may end up working at some point on a weekend, but we really enforce that. We do not try to keep that going 7 days a week.
No, you can't.
No.
It's not good. It's not good for your process.
No, you have to like feed your life in order to
have ideas.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah. And I mean, when the pressure is really on, like, okay, production starts in 2 days, you know, we've got to have a script. We just push through.
Yeah.
And that's where experience really does help. And like you're saying, practice. We've done it before. Sometimes you just have to put your nose to the grindstone and just force creativity out of your body.
And have faith that the idea is there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that comes from experience. Is we know that if we just keep at it, we'll get to what we need. And there's often a temptation to be like, okay, well, let's just do that because that pressure is on and it's not the best idea, but it's an idea. So let's go down that road. And the ability to resist that temptation is also kind of part of the experience process, I think, with us. It's like, we really do keep pushing until we get to the thing that we're excited about.
And what's also true is that we rely on other people.
Yes.
So this is what's great about having a writer's room. And I imagine, I mean, this is true in any field. Like if you're a lawyer trying to work on a defense, I'm sure you rely on other lawyers to have ideas.
Yeah.
We really rely on other writers to come forward when we are flagging. You know, and likewise, that's what we do for other people. So because we're a creative community, we're surrounded by people who can be creative. So yes, that's exceedingly helpful.
And obviously we do that with each other,
yes,
every day.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's why we like being a team.
Exactly. Ultimately, though, we have a very practical view of, yes, creativity, I think. It's not the muses, and if you sit and provide space, and, you know, we're just very, very practical about it. It's a nose to the grindstone, mm-hmm, kind of thing. It's work and effort, and that produces results.
Yes. As Jess and KJ say on the hashtag #AmWriting podcast, which we recommend to everyone, they say, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
Yes. And then amazing things happen. It can be really exciting. And that's what keeps us going through all those times that are kind of a grind.
Yes. Okay, Sarah, it's time for hits and bombs because Hollywood is all about big hits and big bombs.
Yes, you have a hit this week, Liz.
Yes. Okay, I'm giving a big hit to the latest season of the podcast Startup. So Startup, for anyone who has never heard of it, started when Alex Blumberg, who created the company Gimlet, which is a big podcasting company, and when he decided he was going to start it, and this was very renegade, you know, he was a pioneer, mm-hmm, he did a podcast about starting the company called Startup, and I absolutely love the first season of the show. I mean, it's what got me into podcasts. It's the first, yes, podcast I listened to, that and Serial. And I binged it. I love it so much. And over the years, they've done different things for different seasons. But this year, right now, they're doing a final season of Startup. And you don't have to have listened to anything else to enjoy this. You can just come in now. About Gimlet being sold to Spotify for many, 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 many millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. And so it's only three episodes, but it follows sort of where they were in 2018. They had a lot of expenses. Things weren't hitting the way they wanted them to hit. There was a lot of infighting. And then it goes through the sale of the company or the acquisition of the company. Anyway, I think it's absolutely fascinating. It's both emotional and interesting in terms of the business of it all. And Alex Blumberg is really a great communicator. And I love hearing from his partner, Matt Lieber, who he co-founded the company with, who's on the business side. As a team, I find it really interesting to hear teams working out their dynamics.
Yes, it's fascinating.
So anyway, I really suggest everyone, well, first of all, I suggest you go back and listen to the first season. But if you don't feel like doing that, you can jump in now and still enjoy it. It's only three episodes.
Yeah, it's three episodes. It's not a huge commitment, and it sounds amazing.
It is.
You've convinced me.
But Sarah, we have a shared bomb.
We do. It's a bad one because we should be doing better at this.
Yes.
We have not hiked in, months.
Weeks or months, I don't know.
I'm going to say months.
And our whole thing was, hey, we're just developing. We don't have to go into an office. We're going to be hiking at least 4 days a week. It's going to be so great. We're having hiking meetings. We posted pictures of us having working hiking meetings. I think when we posted that picture is the last time we hiked.
So
whatever
so
that
too.
Was.
It's been hot.
It has been hot.
And there are several valid reasons why we haven't been hiking.
Right. Also, it's tricky because we record on some days. And so that in the
morning. Yeah, in the morning when it's cooler, we're in the studio when we could be hiking.
And then we also tend to do our doctor's appointments in the mornings because that's more efficient.
Yes.
Also, we'd both do the strength code. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to sync up our days.
Right.
So like you're Monday, I'm Wednesday. Neither one of us wants to hike after doing the strength code.
Another morning we're recording. Another morning we have a doctor's appointment. Another morning it's hot.
Yeah. So there are factors, but I think it's getting cooler.
Yeah.
I think we need to commit. We talked about this and we thought something we could do is start hiking during our lunch hour.
Yes. Now that it's theoretically cooling off, it was 90 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not hiking when it's 90 degrees. But when it actually cools off, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, because another thing we're trying to do is not go out to lunch every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's nice to get out. So we could eat lunch and then go hiking.
Yes.
Instead of going out to lunch.
Okay.
It's a plan.
Let's do that.
Let's say we have to report back, you know, before Thanksgiving as to how we're doing.
Okay. Agreed.
Next up, a homegrown Hollywood hack that will make your avocado toast even more delicious. But first, a quick break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, Sarah, it's time for this week's Hollywood hack. I don't even know if I can pronounce this. I'm going to try. Hamama.
Hamama, yes. Okay.
What is it?
So,
hey, mama.
Hey, Chuck. Mama. So many years ago, like 10 years ago, I went to visit my friend Steve in North Carolina, and his living room had, he lived in this fabulous, and still does, in this fabulous big house. And in the living room, they had these huge windows, and there was like an indoor garden by the windows. And they were like seeding all of their things that were going to go out to the garden in the spring. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I have always wanted to be like that person who has something growing in the window that is an actual food product.
So that's like your fantasy self.
Yes, exactly. Totally my fantasy self. So, Hamama makes that actually possible. This is not an ad. This is just something I'm crazy excited about.
Now, is Hamama the company?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the company. And what they do is you can go online, hamama.com, and they will send you a little tray, and you halfway fill it with water, and they send seed quilts, and you just put them in the water, and then they grow into food that you can eat. And they're like small and containable and so unbelievably easy. You put in this seed quilt, and a week later, you have your own microgreens. And I have been making avocado toast for lunch, just like smash up an avocado, put some tomato on, and then put some broccoli sprout microgreens, for example.
And are they super nutritious?
They're super nutritious.
So are sprouts more nutritious than other? I feel like I've heard they have more nutrients or something.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yes. And you can like throw them in salads. You can throw them in anything. And they're just so good for you and so fresh because you're literally like cutting them from the, you know, seed quilt and then putting them in your food. And they're so good. And also, I feel like for someone who has kids, it's so good for them to like have that experience of seeing something grow. And Violet loves them. Like she loves like dipping the seed quilt in the water and watching it kind of soak up the water. And then every day she checks it and they grow every single day. It takes, I feel like 4 to 6 days for the sprouts to kind of grow. And then you peel off a little paper. And then 4 days later, you're harvesting your own microgreens.
And then do they keep growing? Or you only get one harvest?
Well, you can compost the seed quilt. What I've been doing is putting them outside in like a little garden patch that I have. Mm-hmm. And then the second growth I give to the guinea pigs.
Ah.
So for us, it's like a double thing. Nice. I put them outside and then just kind of harvest for the guinea pigs a week later. And they have so many different kinds. They have arugula, kale, fenugreek, cabbage, radish, clover. They have others, but those weren't my favorites. I'm just telling you my favorite ones.
And do they taste differently from each other? Like, does radish taste different from broccoli sprouts?
Well, so far I've only done broccoli and wheatgrass.
Okay.
And wheatgrass, I don't know if you've like juiced wheatgrass.
Yes.
It can be a lot. But when you just, when it's just growing, it's really sweet.
Interesting.
Like it's very, very sweet. So Violet was like picking it off and just like nibbling on the wheatgrass.
Oh, wow. And is it pretty affordable?
It is affordable. They have different plans. I do one where I think it's like $50 for 9 seed quilts. and they send them to you every 3 months.
Oh, nice.
That's not 100% solid, but if you look online, you can see all their different plans. And I totally love it. It's so easy. It's a small little tray. You can put it anywhere. It doesn't have to be by a window. Of course, mine is, because that's my fantasy self. But it can be just in regular, you know, light bulb light.
Okay, Sarah, I think you're actually convincing me to do this. The avocado toast got me, because you know I love avocado toast.
Well, I bet Jack would love it.
He might go by and just grab
some and eat it like Violet does. Yes. It's so fun.
All right. Hamama.
Hamama. And that's it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. For questions or comments, email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already.
Thank you to our executive producer, the amazing Chuck Reed, and everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound. Thank you to everyone at Cadence 13.
And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Check out the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, Side Hustle School, and the new podcast from Whole30's Melissa Urban, Do the Thing.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at S Fain, and Liz is at Liz Craft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Okay, I really am going to remember that Melissa thing tonight.
Yeah, the candy.
Yeah. I have a car. I have a credit card. I have at least $2 cash in my wallet. If I want to go get candy, I can go get it anytime I want.
Yes, you do not need to eat the candy in the bowl.
It
there
has
is more
no
candy
power.
In the universe.
No power over me.
You don't need that candy.